All right, here he is. This is big. This is a historic moment. He's off, but he's willing to come on. He's got a big match tomorrow. I guess he was working out with Duffy earlier today up at TPC Osprey Valley. I think that's what it's still called. Here's the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. What'd you make of Johnson yesterday? How embarrassing was that?
I was watching it. I'm like, can you just do something for me to say, like, good job? It was just, he was like, and I know that's his mojo, right? I think the only time I've ever seen him flustered, Brian, was at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach where he choked it away and he started slapping it all over the yard. But that was just, he didn't even like act like he was frustrated, but that was so bizarre and so anticlimactic. You're like, okay, is he going to pull his tee shot? Is he going to push it? He rips it down the middle and he has 70 yards for his approach shot. He flips a wedge on the green, two putts, and he's just like, hey, thanks. See you later, everyone. Well, not everyone. There was nobody there. But it was the most bizarre ending. It was like he went to the store and grabbed a Diet Coke. Like, that was the whole experience. I'm like, that's so weird.
Yeah. Winning a title. Winning a championship. Yeah. It's the Travelers. It's not the Masters. But
I mean,
it's still a tournament on
Hughes,
tour.
I think he made a birdie putt on 17 like a snake.
Big fist pump.
Yeah,
yes.
And he was like the Tiger fist pump. Dustin Johnson wins the tournament. He's like, I need to get out of here, and I need to get out of here now. And it was bizarre to watch.
Yeah, it was so weird, man. It was like it was a tap-in, and like he asked his playing partner, he's like, do you want me to mark this? I'll just tap it. He taps it in, and then he starts carving up his caddy for the misread on the first putt. As if that's relevant at all. He had a two-putt to win.
Oh,
who cares,
man,
about the first one?
I know. And he's just, he's got the walk to begin with. I mean, I don't think anybody, maybe Koepka's got a better strut than that, but it's just like, this guy waltzes along the golf course like he's just at the Sherway Gardens, and he's got the tight pants on, and it's just, I'm the you-know-what, and I'm going to rip it 350 down the middle and see what happens. And it's just, I don't know. He's a different dude. I just wish the end. I was like, my reaction was, I guess I'm turning the TV off now.
Yeah, that's it for that.
Why would I care? He doesn't care.
You almost wonder.
Yeah. If you don't care, I don't care. I guess.
Yeah, like the athlete's got to give something back, even though there's nobody there. Like, he knows sponsors, viewers, whoever. Like, they want to see him act excited, give somebody something.
Yeah, the only thing I can give him is maybe he was actually like, he started hitting some goofy shots coming down the stretch, so maybe he even said it, although there's no fans, the nerves still get you, and maybe he was like somewhat of a relief, where he's like, I'm glad that's over with, because maybe if we went a couple more holes. He got one of the biggest breaks I've ever seen in golf, by the way. When he hits the hybrid off 16T, it's going in the water and plugs on a downhill. It was unreal that ball stayed alive.
Yeah, I can't believe that. And then he kind of chopped up the wedge like with his feet in the water, but it didn't matter.
Ultimately, if the ball went in the water, he probably would have dropped there anyway for three, and he would have made four, but it was just an incredible break.
Yeah, that was a huge break. And I will say, to his credit, I guess, although even though he said it, I don't know if I believe it, there could not be a worse time for an hour rain delay when you're in the lead of a tournament with four holes to go. Like, you got to sit there for an hour, and you're like, how am I going to choke this away? And he's got a history of doing that at some tournaments. But anyway, how's it? You were out there playing with Duffy today. Like, what's going on here? I haven't spoken to you about this. And the whole TPC and Dubas and Jerry D, they were sniffing around looking for some material on you and Duffy. I said, nope, not happening. You guys figure it out on your own. But how are you feeling about this?
I feel pretty good. I had a great start to my round today. I was 5-under after 7 holes. I made three birdies and an eagle, and I was 5-under after 7. I was thinking to myself, because amateur players, regardless of your handicap, when you start going deep like that, it gets in your head. You're like, am I going to actually shoot like 64 here? And I just made some dumb bogeys on the back. I ultimately shot 2-under par, but it was a good practice round.
Wow.
Duffy shot 76. I shot 70. So I think we're in pretty good form heading into tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good track.
Forward tees? Duffy was 76. That's impressive.
Yeah, we played the blue tees, which is like one back from the whites, which is not a joke, but it was the man.
Are you playing tomorrow?
I mean,
yeah, you're good. That's where I live. I live on the blues. I'm proud to say that, man. I say that with confidence. Duffy does too.
You guys have alternate shots in different formats during the round at some point. Did you guys go through who's hitting which tee ball in which hole?
Well, the only thing Duffy said to me, it's like he just came up with this. He's like alternate shot or like best ball or whatever. And, you know, I think it's alternate shot from the best tee. He's like, even if you're like 20 yards behind me, I think I want you hitting the approach shot. So I'm like, are you not that not confident? If you're 100 yards away, you want me to hit a 130-yard knockdown 9-iron instead of you hitting a wedge? But that's the lack of competitiveness in my partner. He's just, he's already afraid, and he's already coming up with gimmicky choking-type scenarios like that. So I was a little bit nervous about that kind of comment. But, you know,
that'll be
we'll
good,
see.
Man.
Yeah,
you guys will be good. Yeah, it's going to be a fun event tomorrow. We're looking forward to hearing about it.
By the way, Jerry D's a stick. Like, Jerry D plays competitive golf.
Yeah.
Apparently, he gambles his ass off up at the National. Like, he likes to gamble. And so he's not afraid of anything. So he scares me a little bit. Kyle, who in the hell? He doesn't have any time to hit a golf ball, so I think he's probably crap. So who knows? We'll see what happens.
What if Kyle walks in and he's just, like, ridiculously good? One of those ones where, like, why don't you work harder? Why are you playing so much time playing golf? Like, shouldn't you be working? You should be working harder. You can't be this good.
Well, I got a feeling he's got, like, you know, the way Kyle operates and the way he thinks about things. I think he's got, like, he's probably going to have some Bryson DeChambeau to him where he's going to be like, what's the axis of the air? like, what's the launch angle of this club? I need to get the stats on how far my 8-iron goes. I think he's going to have some DeChambeau in him, so we'll have to. I'll have to rip him about that if that goes on the golf course.
Well, listen, man, DeChambeau, he is going to connect over four rounds and
I know,
dummy,
but
dummy the
is
field.
Is he turning into a circus-type event where you go and pay a guy to see you watch a guy hit it 370 yards, or is it going to translate into wins? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, we'll find out.
God, he is massive. Like, he's not just, like, put on some, like, he's got a little bit of a paunch, too. Like, he is beefed up.
Yeah. Oh, he's launching balls, man, and he's still, like, you look at his, I believe since they've returned, the 3 weekends, he's, like, running away from the field, even with Berger doing what he's been doing, and, you know, a couple of guys have had, you know, 3 quality weekends in a row. DeChambeau's on the leaderboard every week.
Yeah, he is a legit, he's already won 5 times.
Right.
He's a legit competitor. You know that 16th hole, the 17th hole in Hartford yesterday, it's like it was a dog leg right with you just lay up and then hit over the water?
Yeah.
It's 420 yards, and he ripped it on the green in the practice round. I mean, this guy is not kidding around. I mean, it's a different angle. It probably wouldn't be 420, but he took his driver out in the practice round, and he ripped it on the green.
Yeah, that's gross, man. Like, that is a different level of cheddar off the tees, man. He's bombing it, and he's got a complete game. Like you said, he's won before, so he's capable of doing that.
Yeah.
He gets his short game going. He gets his putter going. He could lap a field. I could see that
happening. I like him because it looks like he's swinging out of his shoes now. Like, on the tee, he looks like he is just going for broke every single time.
Yeah, that's not Fred Couples just cruising.
I'll tell you what, I would rather four-putt every green than putt like him. I wouldn't do that. No way. I don't care if it works or not. He looks like a loser.
Well, he putts like he tees off, man. He's got the stiff arms, and
yeah,
it's up at the front foot.
If I saw that guy in the putting green, I'd be like, I'll bet you $100 a hole putting like that.
Yeah, that guy sucks. And meanwhile, somehow he's put it together.
That guy's a 30 handicap, and he cannot putt for the life of him, and he would rinse you.
Well, he's played Cobras. He's got a Puma deal too. Like, it's also, he doesn't look the part. He looks like a guy that sucks. Like, quite frankly,
yeah, he does. He's got the goofy hat and the stupid putting stance. I would be like, any kind of money you want, let's play for it right now, today.
Yeah,
and you would get your ass handed to you.
So, Johnny and I, we disagree. That's shocking, I'm sure to hear. But on the NHL draft lottery, the way it played out, I think that was goofy. That Lafreniere's the guy who's going first, and we don't know where he's going. And I think it would have been kind of cool if that was the second or third pick, one of these play-in teams. But the first pick, that's the whole promotion, man. You gotta watch the lottery to see who gets the top guy, and we don't know who it is.
Yeah,
there's
a couple different elements, and I know in our business, Brian, you got to pick a side and have a strong stance on it. It was an awkward ordeal. I mean, it was anticlimactic. He gets to the end, and it's like, is this a team yet to be determined? You're like, what the hell did I just watch right now? But I will tell you, it's going to send a message to teams. You might as well not even tank. You might as well try to be good and win some hockey games, because it's this. You saw Buffalo a couple years ago, the McDavid draft. They did everything in their power. Somebody made a save, trade. Somebody scored a goal, traded them.
That's
because they wanted McDavid, and they didn't get him. And even Murray, after, he was pissed, man. He was getting Jack Eichel, and he was like, why the hell did I drive up here for this? And he was pissed. Remember those comments he made?
He just carved
that was a joke.
Eichel.
We should have got McDavid. Why did I drive up here?
Yeah. Well, and it was one of those moves. Like, an hour later, his PR guy had to, like, respond. He's like, oh, but we still love Jack Eichel. It's like,
oh,
yeah,
I know.
Okay,
it was so
dude.
Ridiculous.
You're so mad that you have Eichel.
I heard Carlo on this morning, and he brought up another good point. It does develop some interest for the NHL. It's getting some chatter out there. Although this COVID test and the positive tests are kind of taking over the news cycle, which is, I think, concerning for everybody involved in the NHL. But, you know, there's now some kind of excitement. Although goofy or not, people are going to be talking about who's going to win it. And now there's all kinds of talk, like if you're Montreal, if you don't think you're going to beat Pittsburgh, just tank it. I don't know. But who knows? But I guess any kind of talk about the National Hockey League, Brian, when there's not a whole lot of it right now except for the COVID stuff, I guess could be some kind of a positive. It was an awkward ordeal, though, for Bill Daly to be – and, I mean, the percentages, do you even know what the percentages of that happening were? It had to have been, like, what, 2% or what the hell was it?
That's a good question.
I think it was. I think it's closer to 20% when you lump all eight teams together. One of those eight teams, they're all like 2.5% each. But, yeah, listen, no such thing as bad publicity. And now, oh, you have to tune in for the sequel in September when those teams lose out. You're like, okay, now we finally find out who gets the number one pick overall. But Hub City's coming down the line. Do you care, in any way, shape, or form, if Toronto gets it or not?
Well, I care because if the Quizmaster calls me and I got to do a hit about a Leaf game, I just drive down the road. That's where I care. But I don't really care where it is. I think the players kind of care. Why, I don't know. It's not like you can go out and, you know, people have, I heard from a bunch of different people that the players care about the city and they have, you know, wants and needs about a city. Why, I don't know. It's like you're going away. It's like football players in training camp. They go to some dorm at a university, and they're locked in there, and you're not doing anything. So it's, I don't know. These guys think they're sneaking out to go to the Croc Rock on a Wednesday night. I mean, they're not going anywhere. So I don't know why they care where the city is. And then somebody said to me, well, it's better to be in Toronto than Edmonton or Winnipeg or something. I'm like, why? What the hell's the difference? You're not going anywhere. But I did hear that they're gonna keep the teams in the East, and that is a positive thing.
That's
going
where it
forward.
Should be. Yeah,
no,
that's where
kidding.
It should be.
That other garbage was overthinking. It was nonsense, and I'm glad. But I'll tell you what, Bobby tweeted it today. If these tests keep coming in positive and coming in hot like they are, I think it'll be awfully difficult to be doing anything as far as Phase 4 goes.
Yeah, I mean, that was always going to be a hurdle waiting for us, right? Like, COVID wasn't going to just disappear. And you look at, I think the PGA's handled it very well, but it's a totally different context. I mean, that's an individual sport. As of now, none of the big dogs have pulled out when they've been atop the leaderboard. Like, Koepka didn't play. Webb Simpson pulled out after winning, you know, a week later. That's significant. But at some point, it's going to happen to the tour where some guy after 36 holes is going to wake up and not feel well, and he's going to be in the lead, and then he's going to think, what do I do here? Do I just battle through because I think I can win this, or do I have to go get a test? That's when it'll truly be challenged. This is different being a team sport, but COVID was always going to be there. My concern, when it comes to what Bobby Mack was tweeting today, is it feels like it's more about the economics. Like, they're working on a new CBA. And the players want certainties with escrow and with the economics in the future. And I said, Artemi Panarin's the first guy to come out. Panarin is the Blake Snell of the NHL. He basically said, I'm not doing anything, and we shouldn't do anything until we're guaranteed our money. And it feels like we are where baseball was, and it hasn't been public because guys haven't been popping off on Twitch or on Instagram or on Facebook Live. But Panarin decided to go public, and that opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, that's the concern. Are they going to be able to come together and work out a new CBA? And based on Bettman's history, difficult to be optimistic.
Yeah, I think there's a group of players, Brian, just hearing whispers and talking to different people. I think there's a group of players. I think Ryan Kessler came out and had some comments.
Yep.
I think there's some guys, there's some comments, and there's some kind of snowball effect of players that are not really down with this right now, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes, but I don't know. I was kind of optimistic. I thought it was kind of a standard procedure. Okay, this is going down. This is when it's happening. We're going to get to it. But I don't know. It seems like there's a bunch of hurdles right now, and I'm getting kind of more pessimistic. I still think it might happen, but I'm getting more pessimistic day by day, to be honest with you.
Me too.
And as far as a tour guy, can you imagine, like, you're a kid, like that kid that was on the leaderboard this weekend from, I don't know where he was, a young kid. Imagine him. He's in the lead. He's got a chance to secure a card, and he wakes up, but he's not really feeling too hot. What the hell do you do? His whole career could be on the line, $1.5 million paycheck, and he's gonna sink it to say, you know what, I better get tested or whatever. That would be an interesting call if you're somebody on the bubble. Phil or anybody else who's got $100 million in the bank, they don't care.
Right.
But for a guy with their livelihoods at stake, there would be some big time decision making.
That's where I think that's a legitimate conversation. I mean, this
and he
is...
might raise some eyebrows if he shows up with a CCM helmet with a full visor on in the first tee.
He's got the hazmat suit on.
And he's just like, I'm just trying to be cautious.
Safety first.
Just throwing darts. The guy's in a hazmat
suit. An
old
XL7 with a full cage on, and he's just dialed in on the first tee.
I love it. Well, it's the sport of etiquette, right? Like, it's you're supposed to penalize yourself, and in this particular case, you get tested when you show up, but they're not testing on Fridays and Saturdays unless you request a test. And I think that's a reasonable expectation in the future. Some guy with his life on the line is going to be two shots off the lead thinking, man, I got the sniffles. I don't feel great, but what do I do here? Like, what am I supposed to do?
If I was his caddy, I would say, you shut your mouth. You don't have anything.
I think, honestly, like, people won't want to hear that, but that's real life, you know?
And they could talk themselves into it, like, just stay away from everyone, keep your distance. On a golf course, you could probably get away with it, really, and not really probably infect anyone. You could probably convince yourself it wasn't that big of a risk.
Right. Or I'm not actually sick. I'm not feeling great. I didn't have a great sleep or whatever. Like, it's one thing for Koepka and Simpson to be like, all right, we're out. We'll see you in a couple weeks. But, you know, not everyone's in the same situation.
Exactly.
Hi, buddy. Well, we'll leave it there. Are you back on the Pats bandwagon now with Cam in New England, or what's the deal there? Are you Pats fan?
I thought I made it very clear to you. I am a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan through and through.
I forgot. My bad. Okay. Bucs for life. I love
it. Go Bucs, go. LFG Brady. Let's go.
All right. Take care of Duffy tomorrow. We want updates. What's the deal here? Are they going to have, like, cameras out there and stuff, a 30 for 30 at some point? Or,
dude, that's the frightening thing, Brian. Like, I can hit it around. Like, I was 500 today after seven holes. But there's always something in my head where I'm a bit of a head case where I'm like, I could cold top it off the first tee, like, no problem. Like, you know what I mean? I could shoot 90 tomorrow for fun. Like, like, I was a pro athlete, but not a pro golfer, man. It's just a different nervousness. Like, I played an amateur event for nothing. It's just an amateur event. And I literally wall squat induced on the first tee, and it never stopped the whole day.
I know, man. When you're keeping track and people are watching you and the world is paying attention, it's a very different story.
I was the person in Tim Hortons all over the course, just everywhere. Saying, take that. Like, well, there you go.
What time's tee off tomorrow?
8:30.
Oh, all right, man. Right, we'll be tracking it. We'll know what happens by 4 p.m. tomorrow. We'll have a winner.
And, okay, buddy.
Good luck,
Johnny. Good talking to you. Hazy, I miss you, buddy. Good.
Yeah, you too, buddy. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, bye.
The O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest because the showroom is open. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. So the O-Dog and James Duffy taking on Kyle Dubas and Jerry D tomorrow.